Good morning. We're already at Parshas Vayigash. The drama of the story between the brothers is unfolding, and it will come to a conclusion in this week's Parsha with the most dramatic pasuk, arguably in the whole Parsha, in the whole Torah, maybe. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? I'm getting there, Mandy. Don't worry. It should say Ha'od Avinu Chai. Is our father still alive? Not my father. So some say this is also a musser. So this was a musser to the brothers. Ha'od Avichai, you never considered and thought about our father's feelings. Did you think about that? Did you tell your father that Yosef still? We never killed him. Ha'od Avichai, right? Ha'od Avichai, or Ha'od Avichai means. Ha'od Avichai is my father still alive? The Yaakov that I knew 22 years ago, that was full of life, full of excitement, full of inspiration, is Ha'od Avichai, is that Yaakov still alive? Because the Yaakov you're talking about and telling me about, Yehuda, is this old man, this frail man that has, with the way the life has went and the cards that life has dealt him, he has now been a frail man. He's fragile. His Ha'od Avichai is my father, that father that I remember back then from my young age. Is he still alive? Our learning today and the whole week is sponsored for Fuah Shlema, for Eliyahu ben Batsheva. You should continue davening for baby Chait and keep him in your tefillos. So today I want to focus on the following. Right after Yaakov finds out, they send emissaries down to Yaakov to tell him, your son's still alive. I want to talk about that first meeting. That first meeting between Yaakov and Yosef. 22 years in the making. Yaakov himself never gave up. He never was comforted, never was consoled. Somehow, some way, maybe in the deep recesses of his mind, he felt that Yosef was going to come back. And now, it's like a dream. And I want to learn the psukim inside and see if you can understand them on different levels. So says the Torah, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Kav Ches. Ves Yehuda shalach lefanav, El Yosef, lahoros lefanav, goshna vaivo arta goshen. They sent Yehuda ahead. Why did they send Yehuda ahead of everybody else? Why did Yehuda go ahead? Rashi writes, to build a yeshiva. If you want Jewish life to survive, what do you need? Yeshiva. You need to build educational places, buildings, schools, yeshivos, but a medrash, build for the future.
What tuition was?
Okay, I don't know what tuition was. It's maybe since Yosef was second in the government, he could have gotten a deal. They could have worked it out. Vouchers, who knows what they had in Goshen.
I like to have the book that they used back then to teach
what was the
curriculum?
Ve'asor Yosef Merkavto. Yosef now girds up his chariots to prepare to meet Yaakov. Here is that Yaakov is getting closer to the border. Vayal likras Yisrael aviv Goshna. And he goes towards Goshen to meet his father. Vayera Elav. He sees him. Vayipol al tzavarav. He falls on his neck. Vayefk al tzavarav. And he cries on his neck. Ode. And he cries on his neck. Ode. All right. So who's crying? Who's falling?
Yosef.
Does Yaakov cry?
He's doing
stone cold. How could it be?
Shocked. The rabbi this was saying Christian.
So we'll see. Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef Amusa Hapam. Acharei Raosi Espenecha Kiot Chachai. Right, what does he say? When the Rangers won the Stanley Cup 1994, what was that sign?
Now I could die
in peace, right? So Amusa Hapam, where did he get that from? Got that from Parshas Vayigash.
We had it first.
What?
We had it first. Why is there an ode after that?
Ode. He cried more. He cried, and then he cried even more. It wasn't just an initial crying. Sometimes you cry,
it's uncontrollable.
It stops.
He cried. No, he would say
right, it's uncontrollable.
Uncontrollable.
How many times did the Torah say that Yosef cried? He cries and more than anyone else in the Torah. How many times? Anyone know? Eight. Eight times.
Very sensitive individual.
Very sensitive. Who are the other two people that mainly cry in Parshas Sefer Bereishis? Rachel. And? Binyamin. Same family, same mom. Rachel Mevaka al Baneha. Very sensitive family. Very sensitive genes.
Yaakov know he's going to see Yosef at this point?
Yes, he does. He does.
So there's a question about Shema. Why would he start saying
that? Oh, so let's see. That's what I want to talk about.
That's what I guess.
So says Rashi. Says Rashi.
Yeah, but...
Well, let's, that's what I want to talk about right now. Says Rashi. Afkan, right? I'm just picking up in the middle. Here above Hosef Bebechi Yosef al Aragim. Yosef cries more than he normally cries. That's why it says, the Torah says, Ode. Aval Yaakov lo nafal at Savre Yosef. Yaakov doesn't fall on Yosef's neck.
So he's standing there like
Velo Nushko.
He's standing there like a lot, but no.
Listen, Velo Nushko, and he didn't kiss him. He hugged him.
He
didn't, it sounds like he shouldn't hug him. He didn't kiss him. V'amur Rabu Seinu Shahaya Kore et Shema. And the rabbis teach us that he reads Shema. That he's saying Shema at this time. And that's what I want to talk about today, is why was he saying Shema? And if you're going to tell me, and this is really, if it's Zman Kriyat Shema, right, then what's the problem with that? Why wasn't
Yosef
saying Shema? If it's Zman Kriyat Shema, Yaakov and Yosef should be saying Shema, and they should just be staring at each other awkwardly. Why is it that Yaakov saying Shema and Yosef is not saying Shema? And I want to tackle this from, first we'll talk about it from a halachic perspective, then we'll talk about it from an emotional perspective, and then we'll talk about it from a Klal Yisrael perspective. Three different approaches in the Achronim as to what is going on here in the story. Before we get there, we'll talk about it.
Is there an ideal time besides reaching the Zaman?
We'll talk about it. So the Ramban
had a minion. They could have gone.
Right. They had a minion. Taco, they had a minion. So the Ramban, though, writes something very practical. The Ramban doesn't quote this Medrash of Rashi about Shema. What does he say? Why is Yaakov not reacting?
He's done.
He's an old man. He can't see so well. So he has to, like the brothers didn't recognize him, so Eli has to take off his glasses, squint, and go really close. And he's like, he's sort of in awe / in shock over what he's seeing in front of him, and that's the reaction that he has, right? Very, and that's a very real reaction.
He's been through this before.
Oh, right, yeah. Someone tricking me. Yeah. What's going on? Yes, very good point, yes. David. Is someone tricking me? I can't see. So he's Ramban says the Torah doesn't say that he can't see so well, but the Ramban says ki chavdu eni mizoken. I'm getting older. I can't see so well. Yaakov at this point is how old is Yaakov right now? What? 130, very good. He's 130, so he's squinting, and that's why he's not reacting with his body or with his emotions, because he needs to first make sure that this is Yosef.
Especially if he's uncontrollably crying, he can't even hear his voice.
Right. Hakol Kol Yosef, he can't hear.
Right. Yeah. Him to say anything.
He was at an age when he was abandoned or sent away. Whatever.
Yeah.
So he wasn't 3 or 4 when you change.
Right. 17 to 39. That was the age.
There's still a basis. In fact, we just came across a picture of a 14-year-old.
Right.
When he was 3 or 4, same face.
Same face. For us, it's a little bit harder to compare because back then they had zero pictures. Zero pictures, right? All you have is what you have in your memory, and your memory changes.
No FaceTime.
Right. So. Let's halachic, emotional, Klal Yisrael. The first is the halachic approach from the Griz. Who's the Griz? Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik is the Rav's uncle, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's brother. He was known as the, I don't know what they called him, his nickname was the Brisker Rav. He started in Brisk, and then they survived, and they ended up. No. The Rav Chaim of Brisk, the grandfather, Rav's grandfather, he's going to quote him right now. He was also, Rav Chaim of Brisk, he's not called the Brisker Rav. I don't know why. But he really, because he started in Volozhin and then he came over to Brisk. So he was asked this question, and someone said to Rav Chaim, right, he quotes his father, and he quotes a story. He says, oh, you know what happened to my father? It was Parshas Vayigash. And a guy went over to him and said, oh, you know why? You know why Yaakov said Shema? What's Shema all about? Loving God. And Yaakov at this moment felt this unbelievable love for Kaddish Baruch Hu at this moment. And Rav Chaim said, that is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's not why Yivchi ha'la'avos ha'kadoshim nitan lomar sh'haisalam ava nifredes v'b'neyam sh'oso ha'yitzricham limsar l'Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? We knew this, right? The Avos loved God and they loved their children, right? Just like we do. And we tried to. And they loved an unbelievable love. So, what? At this moment, he had to express a greater love for Kaddish Baruch Hu. At this moment, he always loved the Kaddish Baruch Hu, no matter what was happening. So why now, right, he's appreciative of what happened, that he can see Yosef, but that's not what's going on here. What's going on here? He says, this is halachic. We'll get there in a minute, but this is halachic. What's the halacha? Yaakov said Kriyat Shema, and Yosef didn't say Kriyat Shema. Why not? What happened right before this? Yaakov was very afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Yaakov? Al tira merda Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go down to Mitzrayim, because from there you're going to become a great and glorious nation. It's going to be 70, and then it's going to be 600,000 to 2 million, whatever the numbers might be. Don't be afraid. And God said, you got to go down to Mitzrayim. I'm commanding you to go down to Mitzrayim. If Yaakov was commanded to go down to Mitzrayim, what's the halacha? Osek b'mitzvah, pater mina mitzvah. So Yaakov had to be fully immersed in the mitzvah of going down to Egypt, a tzivu, a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, he was pater from Kriyat Shema. Yosef had no such commandment. Yosef woke up early that morning, put on his tefillin, put on his talis, he davened, and he's good to go. But Yaakov was on a bumpy ride, he was busy, he was pater from Kriyat Shema until he finished his mitzvah. He just got to the border of Egypt, he just got into Goshen, he's chayav right now in Kriyat Shema. Exactly.
As soon as he landed,
step foot. That's Yosef meets him at the border. That's where it is. So that moment, he's chayiv in Kriyat Shema. Therefore, he's saying Kriyat Shema. You know what I think about when I think about this? It's not exactly the same case. It's like we go to you take an early afternoon flight to Israel, and you get in early in the morning, and we're so busy, right? It's an Isayon, but we had to daven. You have to daven, it's too early on the plane, or it's uncomfortable, you want to get off the plane, and then you see everybody that you want to see, or you have to go and you run and do this. Wait a minute, what about davening? So Yaakov teaches us that we have to make that a priority. Right? Also, when you come back, and you go back in the late night flight to Israel, back to America, and it's 5 a.m., you have to go to work. Davening's got a priority.
To go to Israel today?
It is a mitzvah, yeah.
Okay, so therefore, we shouldn't be diving on the plane.
So you could argue Efshel Kaim Shnei. You can do both at the same time.
So you mean to tell me, I'm sure this trip didn't take them a day to get from where they were to get to the border. All that time, he didn't say Kriya Shema.
Yep.
But I thought that the concept was that if you believe, to say Kriya Shema is not impeding in any way him doing the
mitzvah.
So
it could be that back then, you have to be immersed in your chariots and cavalry and
no, they so that would take
focus.
Away.
Yeah. They stopped off the rest, etc.
Right.
Every time they stopped.
Okay, so it's yeah. Okay, it's a good. You have a good kasha. The Sisei Chachamim points out an additional point. He says that maybe Yosef also didn't say Shema, but Yosef was still chayv in another mitzvah, and he was pater from Shema. What mitzvah was Yosef involved in right now? Kibud Av Aim. So to keep it out of aim is to give your father a big kiss, give him a big hug, and tell him you love him. So he didn't say Shema at that moment, because for him, he's got to do this mitzvah of keep it out of aim, therefore he's putter from the other mitzvah.
But how do we know Shema? I mean, just like pulling out of the air, we don't know. I mean, what would give him the idea to think that's the reason, based on what?
That's Chazal. Chazal have this Mesorah, right? The Medrash. The rabbis in the Medrash have a Mesorah, that this is what was said. And now it's up to us to figure out what that means. So one approach is a halachic approach. That's a Sifsei Chachamim, who's one of the commentaries on Rashi, answering that. And also Rav Chaim of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim of Brisk.
So it had to take place in the morning.
Yeah, it had to take place in the morning.
Aren't the words of Shema very appropriate for Yaakov to be saying? I mean, just the words themselves. It's Shema Yisrael.
That's the next approach. That's approach of the Maharal. The Maharal has many Sfarim. One of the Sfarim that the Maharal has is a sefer called Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh is his commentary on Rashi. So on Rashi, he asks this question. Why wasn't Yosef saying Shema? Why was Yaakov saying Shema? What was going on over here? So he says that when Yaakov saw Yosef in the flesh, and he saw that this actually was real, he is going down to Egypt, his seeing his son, his Ben Zakunim, for the first time in 22 years was a reality, he was overwhelmed with emotions. But not only was he overwhelmed with emotions, but then you have a moment in your life where everything clicks, and you sort of maybe understand why everything was going the way that it did. Doesn't mean it was easier, because Yaakov had a very difficult life. He had a very difficult life. But everything sort of clicked at this moment. The dreams that Yosef had, that he had to deal with as a father, to all the fighting in the house, the fulfillment of the bris bein habesharim, he sort of sees how that prophecy given to his grandfather Avraham is going to be fulfilled. It's not yet fulfilled, but he sees how this is all in motion at this time. And he says, there's no better expression to say right now than Kriyat Shema. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What does that express? Yichud Hashem. What does Yichud mean? The unity of God. All of Sifrei Kabbalah talks about how the world is all one. There's oneness of the world. There's one God. God is unique, singular. There's no other being like God, right? It's fundamental. But not only that, but everything is woven together in the world. Most of us are not privy to see that or experience that. Maybe we'll have moments in our life where we'll be able to understand a little bit from God's perspective. And this is what Yaakov saw at this moment, the oneness of the world. And therefore he said, Shema Yisrael, it was a statement. It wasn't a tefillah, it was a statement. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Amazing. Amazing what I'm able to see and experience at this moment right now. Yeah.
When does Yaakov complains that I had enough already before this happens, right? He said, I went through so much, I want to have an easy life. That happens before this, no? When does
it
happen?
No, afterwards.
Oh, it happens even
after. Oh, BK Yaakov Leishem Shalva?
When he kind of says, I went through everything in my life. Why?
That was Vayesha.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this makes so much sense now.
Yeah.
Because now what is he saying? I understand it. I get it. What I did before, it all comes together now, what the plan was. So my whole complaints, I should never have gone there.
Right.
This is I have clarity now. I understand what's happening.
So he has clarity, meaning he has clarity in the world. And the Sfas Emes says this in a little bit of a different way. The Sfas Emes is Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter of Ger. One second. He says it slightly different. He says that Yosef is the quintessential Jew that lives in this world and brings God into this world. So for him to see godliness in this world, for Yosef, is an everyday occurrence. That's what he represents. He represents that type of person in a certain way. Well, you're right, but we can learn from Yosef. Even in Mitzrayim, he brought God, Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv. He always spoke about God. Yaakov, the Sfas Emes writes, lived in Shamayim. He lived in Shamayim. This world, at this point in his life, you can argue that Yaakov wasn't. The Sfas Emes says, at this point, Yaakov is living in Shamayim. And he doesn't have any, doesn't see anything in this world that has any meaning. So, at this moment, when he sees this, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elkeinu, Shem Echad, he says, wow, God is in this world. He's present in this world. I could be present in this world. I don't need to live only in the Shemayim to experience God. I can experience God in this world. Right? Your question, yeah.
What point does he realize that the kidnapping and the selling and everything was all part of the plan?
At this moment, he comes. So that's what the Gur Arye is saying. He sees all of this come together. He doesn't see every single piece. It's more of a feeling and emotion that he has. He sees some of the pieces starting to connect together, and the connections not only in his own life, but even going back to his. To Avram's life, to his grandfather's life, and when you have that moment, you have goosebumps. It's an amazing, awe-inspiring moment.
If he had a moon, he should have known it's all over.
You can have a muna, but then you can experience that, right? We can have a muna, and muna doesn't always give us goosebumps. And muna is something we need, right? We believe that what God does is for the good. I don't understand that, what that means. Or God has a plan. The Chazon Ish says, it doesn't mean that everything that God does is good. It means that God has a plan at this moment. But then when you get a moment where you see that, you're like, we see things from our perspective. We look up, God, what are you doing? How often is it that you can look up from Shemayim and look down and say, oh my gosh, I think I understand what's going on here. And maybe we don't. You're right. We don't know. We don't know.
Yosef prepares for his brothers. They don't suspect. How does this guy
know these things? Well, they know anything. You know what? You know what the answer to that question is? Why didn't Yosef and his brothers? Why didn't the brothers figure out this was Yosef? Because you see what you want to see. You experience what you're. It's a simple answer. Truth could be right in front of your face, and if you don't want to see it, you don't experience it, you don't see it. That's it.
You don't want it to be.
What kind of environment would Yosef get all these years? I mean, what's his Yiddish guy? I mean, what kind of.
He was in Mitzrayim.
Right.
Mitzrayim was one of the most advanced societies, technologically advanced, but one of the most lewd societies.
So, talking about Shema, I mean, maybe that's something, isn't necessarily.
Right.
So
you know, David, I think this is your answer. The Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel is the Sukkachev Rebbe in Source 8. Sukkachev Rebbe says something really beautiful. He says, what's going on here? First he quotes the Gur Arye. He says, the Gur Arye says something very pretty. Look at the Gur Arye for what he says. That's what we just quoted the Maharal. And then he says, maybe what's going on here, it's not a Yaakov Yosef thing. It's not a brothers reuniting thing. Or maybe that's what's going on in the micro level, but there's also, you got to take a step back, and there's something going on at the macro level. What's going on here? The Jewish people are going into galus. They're going into exile. This is not an exile that's going to last for a year, a 2 years, few months, 210 years. This is a galus that's going to last for a very long time. It's going to be bitter. It's going to be hard. It's going to be pain, torture, and slavery. And what do the Jewish people need to persevere? What do they need? Says Hashem Yishmuel, you know what they need? They need Shema Yisrael. What did Yaakov bring into Galus? He brought Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He didn't just bring Emunah, like we just said, but he brought sort of his bracha into Galus. That my children, my grandchildren, should never go too far away from Yiddishkeit. They should stay strong in their values. And he made this statement, and it was not a statement. It wasn't a, right? It was more of a tefillah. I am being mekadesh. I'm sanctifying their time in Mitzrayim, in Galus. And they need it. They need to see God in Galus. They need to experience and need to stay strong to what they have. This is a beautiful pshat. He says, you know what? We do this every single week. How do we see they do this every week? We've been learning every Tuesday morning about Kiddush and Havdalah. What's the goal of Kiddush?
Sanctify.
To sanctify what?
Shabbos.
What is Havdalah? So, you're going to tell me, and you're right, it's making a declaration that Shabbos is over. Yishem Yishmuel and Rav Hirsch, Shishol Rav Hirsch, they're the same shot. It's so beautiful. What is Havdalah? It's, this is Rav Hirsch's language, it's Kiddush for the week. You're sanctifying the week. You're bringing some holiness of Shabbos into your week. You make Kiddush for Shabbos. Havdalah is not saying Shabbos is just over. You're making Kiddush for the week. You're bringing God into your week.
It's supposed to Havdalah being the end of Shabbos. They're saying it's the beginning of the
week. It's the beginning of the week. It's the beginning of the week. It's such a Havdalah, right? Kadshehu, right? Beitziyaso. That's what the Gemara says. Calls Havdalah. Kadshehu Beitziyaso. That means is, right? We're miskasher. We're connecting the love, the bracha, the kedusha of Shabbos. We say, let's bring some of that holiness into the week itself. And that's how we begin every single week. Make Kiddush on the week and bring God into our week. We're so busy, we're running around. Work, one job, two jobs, six jobs.
Zero
you know,
jobs.
People, oh, Baruch Hashem. I'm saying people have zero jobs. Good, so you have no excuse. You have no excuse.
Yeah,
and I know, Baruch Hashem, you're running around. He does. He's learning in Kolel. He's learning Kolel.
Sylvie has jobs.
So, but so many people, they got the kids, they got the grandkids, they got, you know, shopping, and so many things they need to do. Bring God into everything we do. That's why we begin every single week with a Kiddush. It's called Havdalah. But it's a Kiddush. And that's what Yaakov Avinu was doing. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Jewish people, my children, my grandchildren, my progeny, they need this. They need this connection. I'm sanctifying their time here to give them this emunah, this bitachon, this glimpse, this kedusha into the time of them to Mitzrayim. And that was like the stamp of Yaakov's bracha to his children and to his to their time in Mitzrayim. Exactly. So she may call the doctor afterwards if you tell her you're making Kiddush. But ask her to call me afterwards, okay? And I'll explain. I'll explain.
Is there ever an emotional moment between Yaakov and Yosef
folks? Well, yeah, 1 second.
Fine.
Wish everyone a great day. It should be awesome. The three answers we had, number one was a halachic, was the Rav Chaim Salvechik. He was saying Kriyat Shema because he had to say Kriyat Shema, otherwise OCV Mitzvah, Patrim Mitzvah. Number two, Yaakov saw everything that went on in the world. He saw Yad Hashem in his life. He saw how everything fit together. That was the Gur Aryeh, and that's why he said Yichud Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinnah, Shema Chad. Before he was bringing the Shema into the Galus.